It's December the 14th. Let's read the Bible. Welcome back, friends, to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. And here we are, midway through the month of December. We are near the end of the New Testament. We are near the end of the Old Testament, which means we are near the end of our year-long journey. What a blessing it has been. Thank you so much for joining us. I do want to remind you that starting on December the 26th, the day after Christmas, I'll be doing these Bible readings live, 7 a.m. Central Time, from my office here, my basement office. Sometimes I call it the basement bunker in our home here in Shawnee, Kansas. Done. These videos I've done have all been from right here, but we're going to do it live the last 6 days, reading the book of Revelation together. Of course, if you can join us at 7 a.m. Central Time live, now you'll have to, you know, if you live in India, or if you live in Ireland, or if you live in Cambodia or Paraguay, you're going to have to, or Japan, got to do transmutation of the time zones, whatever it is. But it'll be 7 a.m. Central Time here. Hope you'll join us. Got a note from someone, from Lisa, who said, I am so excited for the live reading. I'm marking my calendar now. Guess no sleeping in over the Christmas break, LOL. That's right, Lisa. No sleeping in, because we are going to read the Bible together. It's going to be life-changing. Now, we've come today to 1 John. We're going to spend 2 days in 1 John, and this is the way it's going to go. Let me see the little outline that we're following. We're doing 1 John. I got to pull it out here. 1 John, then going back to the Old Testament and doing Zephaniah, then coming back and doing 2 and 3 John and the book of Jude. And I mention it that way because for the last time this year in this series, Marlene is going to return to read God's Word for us. She's going to read 1 John today and tomorrow. And then on the 17th, she's going to come back and read 2 and 3 John and the little book of Jude. We've gotten so much wonderful feedback. She's read the book of Ruth months ago, Esther last summer, and then just a couple months ago, she read the book of Lamentations. And so, coming back for the Johannine epistles and the little book of Jude. I think you're going to enjoy that. In fact, I know you will. So, 1 John. Well, 1 John is not like Hebrews. It's not like Ephesians. You know, I said when we did Hebrews, we don't know who wrote it. I can tell you this, even if it wasn't called 1 John, you can tell that the Apostle Paul didn't write 1 John. This, but if you read the Gospel of John, you can say to yourself, sure, that you can see a lot of similarities. Now, it's interesting about 1 John and 2 John and 3 John, no name, that is, no author is given. You know, in Ephesians and Galatians, Philippians, Paul, an apostle, so it's not like that. This is by the Apostle John, but he doesn't put his name here. We don't know where he wrote it from. We assume, and I think correctly, that he probably wrote it from the city of Ephesus, because that's where we believe John spent his closing years. And if we had to give a date, I would say, well, I'm going to say starting the day after Christmas, when we get to the book of Revelation, I'm going to tell you that Revelation was probably written about AD 95, when by that time John was a prisoner in Patmos, a little island in the sea there. It's not very far from Ephesus. He's an old man. By AD 90, he is the last surviving apostle. Church tradition is to be trusted, and I think it is. All the other apostles came to very difficult, they suffered and died for their faith. All of them were persecuted, died for their faith. John is the only one left of the original apostles. Going to give you a date of about AD 90. So that puts us about 60 years after the ministry of Christ, and almost 60 years after his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Now, by this time, you're a couple of generations past the time when Jesus walked on the earth. A lot of the folks who knew Jesus personally, they're gone too. So now you're down to second and sometimes third generation believers. And now the gospel, from that small start in Jerusalem, it has spread north, south, east, west. It's gone as far east as India, maybe even further east than that. It's gone south into Egypt and further south into Africa and west along the North African coast. It's gone into Asia Minor, Turkey, Greece, Italy, Spain, up into Europe. Gospel spread all over the Roman Empire. Not surprisingly, there were a lot of problems in the burgeoning Christian movement as the apostles had died off. John's the last one left. He writes this letter to stress three things. Number one, the gospel is true and we can believe it. Get that? The gospel is true and we can believe it. Number two, false teachers abound. They must be rejected. So, number one, gospel is true. We can believe it. False teachers abound. They've come into the church. In some cases, they have come into the church and then they have departed from the church, teaching strange, bizarre doctrines. They must be rejected. And number three, that the great mark of true Christian faith is that you truly love your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So it is truth, it's rejecting falsehood, and it's walking in love. And if you want a theme for the book, I think it's right up at the front. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So he wants complete joy. Verse 5, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That is, we have fellowship with God and with other Christians. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Here's a very simple outline. Walk in the light. Walk in the truth. Walk in love. Walk in victory. Walk in the light, chapter 1. Walk in the truth, chapter 2. Walk in love, chapters 3 and 4. And then walk in victory, chapter 5. So, I'm going to turn it over to Marlene, and she is now going to read for us 1 John, chapters 1, 2, and 3.
1 John, chapter 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have observed and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, that life was revealed, and we have seen it, and we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying, and we are not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2. My little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, and yet doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we're in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old command that you have heard from the beginning. That command is what you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother or sister is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother or sister remains in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and doesn't know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing you, little children, since your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you have come to know the one who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you have come to know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have come to know the one who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. God's word remains in you, and you have conquered the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. By this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belongs to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar if not the one who denies Jesus is the Christ? This one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father as well. What you have heard from the beginning is to remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he himself made to us, eternal life. I've written these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you don't need to anyone else to teach you. Instead, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie. Just as it has taught you, remain in him. So now, little children, remain in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Chapter 3. See what great love the Father gives us that we should be called God's children, and we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has yet not been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed so that he might take away sins, and there is no sin in him. Everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children become obvious. Whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother or sister. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another, unlike Cain, who was the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we receive whatever we ask from him because we keep his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. Now this is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commands remains in him, and he in him. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he has given us.
Thank you, sweetheart. What an amazing part of God's Word that is. I'm always touched in chapter 3 when John says, "Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." So, there's coming a day when we will see Jesus. Today we walk by faith. Today we live by faith. Today we pray by faith. Today we fight by faith. Today we struggle on by faith. Today, everything we do as Christians, we do by grace through faith. We exercise our faith, but we haven't yet seen it. But there's coming a day when our faith will be turned to sight. We will see him as he is, and we will be like him. Here's great good news about our loved ones who have gone on to be with Jesus. They're with him now. The battle is over. The victory is won. And the voices call out from heaven, "Be faithful. Stay strong. It's going to be worth it in the end." So my friends, hang on to Jesus. That's a good word for today as we're marching through Advent, coming up toward Christmas. Hang on to Jesus. Are you weary in the battle? Hang on to Jesus. Do you feel like giving up? Hang on to Jesus. Do you sometimes get overwhelmed by temptation and discouragement? Hang on to Jesus. Christmas is not far away. The Son of God is on his way. We remember his first coming. We look to his second coming. We will see him as he is. So, Lord, I pray that in this day, give us a vision by faith of that great day, the day when the battle is over, when the sounds of warfare are no more. We will see Jesus and we will be like him. So help us to live by faith today and to know the joy that comes from walking with Jesus and walking in fellowship with our brothers and sisters. May the reality of Christ be seen in us today. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, go out and have an amazing day. Marlene's going to be back tomorrow. She's going to read 1 John chapters 4 and 5, and I'm going to tell you a story about how this book, how a verse in 1 John chapter 5 changed my life 54 years ago. Come back tomorrow. It's going to be amazing. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. God bless.